Boker Tov world. Today's daf and a happy Tu Bishvat. And today's daf in the Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nunchet, which is the perfect daf to discuss the dinim of Bnei Noach. And there you go. So now you'll remember that the inyonim of the Arayot on Bnei Noach is on page Noach. Good. Anyway, so yesterday we had this very important machlokas, in which we saw that according to the Chachomim, because of the ish, a goy, a ben noach, which we use over here the word kuti for throughout, this is because of the censor issue. So very often we'll substitute the word kuti really for what we mean is agrum, a ben noach. Doesn't mean literally kuti, which of course is a machlokas, what the dinim of a kuti are. The goys are on them, lios ke goyim lecholdover, but that's not what we're referring to. In any event, according to the Chachamim, we saw that even chayve krisos are included in the isurim on a ben noach. Now, that would mean all of the fraternal, meaning sister, father's sister, mother's sister, brother's wife, father's brother's wife, wife's sister, anything that had to do with fraternity. All of those things were the things that were a chiyuv karet, not a chiyuv mita. So it would be a big machlokas according to Rabbi Meir. Only those things that a bezdin shei Yisrael is meimit, is there an iser for a ben noach? And if not, there's no iser for a ben noach. Now, before we proceed today, I need to make one thing very clear, because otherwise it's confusing to people. And that is that, remember that we have a very skewed idea of what this issue of incest is. Because what basically we grow up in a society in which incest is defined really by gut feelings. So that it's all a matter of incest taboo, whatever is included in the taboo is considered. And nobody has any idea why precisely these were the taboos and these were things that people consider incest. Again, as we've seen in the Torah, all of these sexual issues are defined by the Torah in unique ways. They don't follow any kind of taboos. And therefore, we talked about we need to define what genitals are. That we understood. We need to define what intercourse is. That we understood. Now, there's another issue, which is that the halacha needs to define what incest is. In other words, it's not taken for granted that because there is a genetic connection between people, then that means that any relation to those people would necessarily be incestuous. That does not necessarily follow at all. As the Ramban explains, we have absolutely no real tvisa of the inyanim of Arayas. They're all chukim. It's just that the Torah defined this for us. And in that case, genetic connections are not really necessarily all that important in defining arayas. There's many other issues that we're going to be seeing, and we don't even know if those are the issues. We know that they are issues to us in terms of the balance of those issues and what it is that the Torah is taking into consideration. We don't really No. And as we pointed out, that the wild story of Bar Kappara was there in order to bring this out, where he was upset at the fact that the Chachomim were using sexual hang-ups as feelings about the nature of Kedusha, of marriage, and so on. And so in order to make it very clear that that's all nonsense, at this most important wedding in Jewish society, this was Rabbeinu HaKodesh, he was making a wedding. It's the richest wedding, the most amazing wedding. And there he goes, and he gets up and he starts talking to the tzibur, and he goes over to the chosin's table and starts asking them what their opinions are of homosexuality or what their opinions are of bestiality. And everything that they say, he makes fun of. He says, what's the matter with that? Or what's the matter with that? At the end, they just give up and walk out of the room. But anyway, so he went out of his way in order to make it clear that the Torah elements of Arayas have nothing to do with your gut feelings. That's A. And what that means is that when we're going to find today all types of definitions of what is considered to be an erva for different people, there's no reason why this should be disturbing, because just because you don't like it doesn't mean that the Torah doesn't like it. And as the Ramban points out, look, the truth is, from the point of view of rationality, it's absolutely crazy not to allow brothers and sisters to marry each other. I mean, that actually preserves the genes in the family. It actually preserves the money in the family. What parents wouldn't want their children to be happily married? Right? So that sounds crazy to us, but that only sounds crazy to us because of the incest taboo. There's nothing crazy about it. It makes a heck of a lot of sense. Elamai, the pshat is that all of these things are chukim, and we have to accept them as chukim, but never to utilize our gut feelings about things to make that a din in what we understand in the Torah. The only time we can use that type of thing as a svara, not as a feeling, is according to Rabbi Shimon, who is Dorish Taima Dikra. Other than that, we can't use it. And we're going to see today, well, I hope we'll get there today, but we'll certainly see tomorrow that according to the way the Rambam understands Bechlal Lesheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, they include the concept of not making up religious ideas. That is one of the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, which is the idea of not being Koveya. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs. One of the Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and that is not to be Koveya religious things, not to create a day of rest. And as the Gemara says, even if it's Monday, not because Sunday is a day of rest that other Goyim have chosen, or Friday is a day of rest, even take Tuesday. Don't create new religions. That's how the Rambam understands it, which is totally different from Rashi, but in any event, it's also part of this overall understanding. So, which means that what we're looking for is really an objective criteria, only objective criteria for the Torah's definition of arayas, and therefore don't be disturbed about what turns out to be mutter for some people and so on. It's irrelevant how you feel about it. So now the Gemara wants to know, is it really true that Sava Rebbe Meir, Kol Erva Shebeitin Shel Yisrael Memitin Alea Ben Noach Muzar Alea? That's what we claimed was Rabbi Meir's shita yesterday, and in that he argues with the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold any erva, because of ish, any erva that Yisrael is usur on, even if the Bezit Shel Yisrael is not memitin, which, as I said, would include all isurei karet, which is all the fraternal isurim, and Rabbi Meir says, no, only those things that there's a chi of mita on. Is that true? Because we have a braita that seems very clearly to indicate that that is not really Rabbi Meir's shita. Vatanya. Now, we're going to be talking now about a special case, which in reality is not really a special case. Let me explain. What we're talking about over here is dafka, a case where we have a ger shahaita, the horato was shalo bekedusha, the leidato b'kedusha. So we're not used to talking about a child born to a Jewish mother as having the din of a ger. And sometimes it's very shocking to see at the bris that they'll say lamulat hagerim and every, what? Who? What are you talking about? Lamulat hagerim? But that's because people didn't realize that actually the mother was impregnated while she was not Jewish. Then she became a gioret. So that, what happens over there is the giyur affects the fetus as well. So now the fetus is a ger, together with the mother. But he still has a din of ger, which means that, according to the Torah, he is not really related to anybody. Because ger shenizgayer is kekatan shenola dami, which means that me'ikar hadin, we don't see any type of genetic connection between the ger and his family. He's considered to be almost a new species now that he's become a Ben Yisrael, which, by the way, is indicative of, in general, the dinim of arayas, which means that when the Torah defines these interconnections, it defines these interconnections in terms of the particular level that we're looking at, in terms of the kedusha or yichus of the person, which is why an eved doesn't have any yichus at all, and so on and so forth, as we'll see as we go through the sugya. So what this means is that once a person is in this new situation, it's as if he is a completely different person. So all defining him in terms of his genetics is meaningless when it comes to the arayas, because we're looking at him in terms of the way the Torah looks at him, and the Torah looks at him as a completely new entity who has just arrived on earth, pristine, without any real connections other than animal connections. But his connection as a human, which is the Adam Atim of Yisrael, those are the only connections that he doesn't have to his previous existence, so to speak. But in this case, so why do we talk about this particular case? A child, a fetus, who was actually a ger. Well, that's because in such a case, we have special dinim. The only reason we have special dinim really is exactly the same as any other ger. But the reason we have special dinim is because of how easy it is for people to confuse him, because people don't know. He was born to a Jewish mother. Nobody realizes that he was conceived outside of the Kedushas Yisrael. So because of that, there's certain cases where we're going to have to be machmir because we're afraid that maybe people will get confused. But otherwise, what applies over here to this particular case of a ger, Shaitel Rato Shalo B'Kedusha, where he was conceived still as a goy, and then Leidato B'Kedusha, has actually true about any ger except for special elements that we'll see later on. So the din of such a person is that technically speaking, he's not related to anybody, including his mother. Just because his mother gave birth to him doesn't mean that she's his mother, because in terms of the yichus, which is nikpa by the moment in which he was conceived, he is really now unrelated to the woman that conceived him, because she became a gioret and he became a ger. So if there would be a mother and a son who were both goyim and they come to Beis Din together and they're both misgayer, the fact that they're misgayer together doesn't make them mother and child reunion. No. And the same thing is true over here. Just because in this case the mother is bearing the child internally, it doesn't mean that she's really his mother. Now, I must warn you also, before we go through this sugya, that there are many, many different approaches in the Rishonim to the entire sugya. This is a complex sugya, and to start talking about the different approaches would be really crazy, I think. So we'll just take Rashi's approach, which is clear, consistent, and simple, relatively simple. I say relatively in a Barnea sense, of course. It's relatively simple. And because of that, we can start here with this simple idea. Such a child, yesh lo she'er ha'em, ve'en lo she'er ha'av. So he is considered to be related to his father, and he's not considered to be to his mother, but he's not considered to be related to his father. Now, the reason for this is because we have a gezera, and that gezera is called, if Gavi is available, and I see that Ori is finally keeping her head up in order to listen to the Daf Yomi much more clearly, which is a wonderful sign. Soon, I'm assuming, just out of Kavod HaTorah, she'll want to stand up during the Daf Yomi, but meanwhile, this is good. So if Gavi would be ready to write down this gezera, Shelo Yomru, Bo'u mikedusha chamura likedusha kala. What we're worried about over here is that in the case of a ger, that while he was non-Jewish, he was not allowed to marry certain people. And now that he became Jewish, he is allowed to marry those very same individuals. So, of course, what is everybody saying? Ah, yes, when you were a goy, then you were treated like a human being. Now you became Jewish, you see, you can go marry your own mother, because now you're an animal. This is Kedusha Kala. Okay, so we don't want that impression. So therefore, we pretend that the original relationships that obtained during the period in which he was a goy are still there. But it's not that they are really the Torah's definition of an Erevah. They are a Dirabona. Okay, so all of that we're going to explain later on. And meanwhile, we're going to just talk about the din. And when we come to explain why this is true, that's when we're going to get to the problem of the inconsistency in Rebbe Meir. Because remember, that's what this is all for. We've popped down a level to discuss the general din. We're going to get back to how this relates to what we thought Rebbe Meir held in the yesterday's Din Gemara, where it was the Braita, according to Rebbe Meir, only the issues of Chiyuv Misa would apply to the Ben Noach. So Harketzah, so what do we mean when we say he does have the relationship to his mother? Well, for instance, if let's say he married his own sister, who was his sister from the same mother. So then we are going to ask him to divorce that sister. Why? Because since as a Ben Noach, he would not have been allowed to marry a sister from the same mother. So because of the Drabonan, Shelo Yomru Shabo Mikadusha Chamur LaKadusha Kala, we say, even though you are really married to your sister, because she's not your sister as far as the Torah defines your sister, but since people have these feelings about what they think is Arayas, so therefore we don't want that to be misunderstood, and we ask you to divorce her, but she does need a divorce because it would be a regular complete marriage. So he has to divorce her, Yotzi. But if he married his sister that is from the same father and not from the same mother, even though he's not to do this al-Khatkhila, as we'll see later on, but he does not divorce her. If he already married her, so he can live with his sister happily forever. Achot av min ha'en yotzi. Furthermore, if he married his father's sister, and it was his father's sister through a common grandmother, so in other words, his father and that sister have the same mother, then he has to divorce her because he would have been usher in that woman, as we'll see. We learn it from, it's a strange situation, but we learn from the Pasuk that even though relationships through his father do not obtain to him, but the one thing that does is his father's sister from the same mother. So if he would have been a goy, he would have been usher in that woman. So because of that, he has to divorce her now because of Shema Yomru. But if he married his father's paternal sister, so then he does not have to divorce her because he wouldn't have been usher on her as a goy. If he married a mother's maternal sister, he also has to get rid of her. If he marries his mother's paternal sister, then, now here's where we get to the problem of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says, well, he's going to have to divorce her. Uh-oh. So why would that be? So obviously, Mi'ikra Din, I mean, nobody's going to argue on the fact, as we'll see, that a Ben Noach is not related to the sister of a mother that is a paternal sister. And once again, I want to restate that the definition of what a sister is or what any particular relative is no different than the Torah's defining what genitals are or defining what intercourse is or anything like that. It's not what you think. It's what it is that is defined by the halacha as that particular thing. And therefore, this is looking at another issue. Therefore, you would say, so, I mean, if somebody wants to be machmir on himself and he's a Ben Noach or he is a Yisrael before Matan Torah, so he should be machmir on himself not to marry his sister, right? Wrong. She's not his sister. That's the point. You cannot say, I am going to be super Kaddish and not marry this woman because she is my paternal sister. She's not your sister. What do you mean she's not my sister? She's not your sister. The Torah hasn't defined her yet as your sister. And therefore, what is the point of being machmir on something that doesn't exist. You want to say, I hereby dub thee sister and now be machmer on her. So in other words, those things that are definitions, you can't start playing games and make your own definitions. That's the issue. So in that event, this is why we find that prior to Kabbalah Satira, we didn't really have Hakpada on these arayot that are not called arayot to a benayah. So now, in this case, where somebody had married his mother's paternal sister, so it's his auntie. Now, if he had been a benayah, he would have been allowed to do that. And we wouldn't have asserted it in terms of Shema Yomru Shebo Mikedusha Chamura Likedusha Kala. But the problem is that since this particular auntie that he's marrying over here is actually his mother's sister, so he might think that that's because his mother is not related to him, and therefore he would think that those Isurim that come from a common mother, such as the sister of his father through a mother, he would think that that doesn't apply to him. His own sister through his mother, he would think it doesn't apply to him. So therefore, there's an additional issur, according to Rabbi Meir, midrabbanan, that in order to prevent this type of confusion, we actually say he shouldn't even marry his mother's sister from a common father. Fine, a paternal sister. So, in such a case, Rabbi Meir says, Yotzi, v'chachamim omrim yekayim. He doesn't, that's not, I mean, why would somebody get confused in this way? It's not actually a problem. Okay, so therefore, we now understood that the reason that the Braita says these dinin, binogea, a case where he was horoto, shalo bigdusha, the leidato bigdusha, on the surface, this would be exactly the same for any ger. The only issue over here is that it's coming to tell me that if, in fact, she had been mitgayeret before, so then we would be afraid he was so much like a Ben Yisrael, so then people would confuse him with a Ben Yisrael. And if that were the case, Rabbi Meir would have said that he's usher to marry anyone that is usher for an actual Yisrael because people would confuse him with a Ben Yisrael. That's Rashi's approach, and that's the point of indicating that it's only where his Leidase would actually be Bikedusha. Fine. So, continuing. So Rabbi Beir Omer Yotzi, and the Chachamim say, okay, we're not worried about that. And here is the problem. Shehaya Rabbi Meir Omer. Now this is setting forth Rabbi Meir's Shita, and it seems to be a different Shita that Rabbi Meir said yesterday. Ko erva shehi mishum she'er av yotzi. Mishum she'er Yotzi. Mishum she'er av yekayim. So he's allowed to be mekayim her. And that's basically the idea of Rabbi Meir. But she would be mutter be'eshet achiv u'be'eshet achi aviv v'sha'ar kol arayot mutarat lo. But he would be, this ger, would be mutter to his brother's wife, if she's no longer married to him, and his father's brother's wife, if she's no longer married, and all other arayas would actually be mutter, because in terms of the Torah, he is not really related, and since the only iser, if he had been a goy, would be not through any relatives that came through marriage, because none of those would be included. So because of that, why would we think that he was ba mikedusha chamura to a kedusha kala? And when we say these last words of kol arayot mutarot lo, that includes even eshet aviv, when she's no longer married to the father. Nasa isha ubita, so suppose he was married to a woman and her daughter, and then he became a ger. Now we're talking about stam, any ger. So first he was married to isha ubita, and now he becomes a ger. And we're talking about over here that if she had actually been horato b'kedusha, that he wouldn't have done, because he's not allowed to marry isha ubita after he's Jewish. But here he married isha ubita as a goy. So he's kones achat umotzi achat. So he can keep one of them, and the other one he has to get rid of, because now that he's a Ben Yisrael, even though to him they're not really related, but we don't want him marrying someone who was actually Jewish Isha Ubita. This is a different gezeira. So to marry someone who looks like Isha Ubita is also because maybe he'll think it's mutter to marry a real Isha Ubita. All of the women that we mentioned over here that he can keep, it's only if he had gone ahead and married them. But lechatchila, if he asks us if he should marry them, he's not to be kenes them. And what also would be included is that if his wife died that he had from then, he would be mutter b'chamato. And this is, again, even if they married as Jews again, because since they had been mizgayer, there is no real connection between the mother and the daughter. Even though it's genetically connected, it's not connected in terms of yichus. And since there's no iser of chamoto on a ben nayach, so because of that, there's no problem of Shema Yomru, ba mikedusha kamura lekedusha kala. The Ikeni Amri, but others say that he is asur b'chamoto. Okay, anyway, what's important to us is that here, Rebbe Meir is totally different from what Rebbe Meir said yesterday and what we reviewed at the beginning of today's learning. Because Rebbe Meir had originally said that, and if he's a ben nayach, anything that a court of Yisrael will be mechayev misa on would have been usher on him if he was ben nayach. But here he said that he's allowed to marry his father's wife after divorce because it's mutter to marry a father's wife. The problem is that a ben nayach, according to Rebbe Meir, is osur on anything that a bezin shel Yisrael is meimis on, and the din is that somebody, a Jew, who sleeps with his father's wife, even though they're currently not married, the father may have died, they're divorced, it would be chayav misa. So why over here is it suddenly mutter? That's a contradiction. What about the part about marrying a mother-in-law? Isn't it considered to be a chiyav misa for a Yisrael to marry a mother-in-law? So how does it say over here that all of a sudden it's mutter? We said that also, let's say we see over here that if it says he can't marry his sister or his father's sister or his mother's sister, because what? Shema Yomru bo mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala. But Rebbe Meir said that those are all chiyuvei kores, and chiyuvei kores would not be chayev, and would not be yosir even to a ben noach. So now why would anybody say that that means now he's gone down in kedusha? So everything in this braita stands in direct contradistinction to what Rebbe Meir had decided in the other brisa. How in the world is this supposed to make any sense? So it's a complete and total stira. Answers the Gemara, it is a complete and total stira. But what you need to remember is that Rebbe Meir actually learned under Rebbe Akiva, and he learned under Rebbe Eliezer. And one of these brises is Rebbe Meir's Shita following Rebbe Eliezer, and one is Rebbe Meir's Shita following Rebbe Akiva, as we're about to see, that there is a big machlokes. And therefore, the first Breita that we had spoken about right away at the beginning of this, there that was going according to Rabbi Akiva. And as we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Akiva indeed holds that if the Beis Din Shel Yisrael is not Meimisin Aleha, then there's no Isser to a Ben Noach. Masha Enkein, this Breita, which obviously doesn't hold anything of the sort, was going Aliba to Rabbi Eliezer, as we are about to see to Tanya. Analyzing that pasuk, Al kein yazov ish et aviv ve'et imo v'davak, etc., etc. We're going to look into that in the end, the entire pasuk. So first it says, leave your father and the mother. Okay, this is in Gan Eden. So what does it mean when it says et aviv ve'et imo? So that means what in addition? So Rebbe Eliezer says, aviv, when it says his father, it does not mean don't sleep with his father. It means, therefore, a human should leave his father, even if it's genes that are shared with his father. And that means that he should not sleep with the sister of his father. And when it says imo, it means also the sister of the mother, which, of course, would mean that he is usser on his own sister, who is even one step closer. Okay. And we're going to see that the definition of sister, as Avram Avinu explained to Avimelech, is only a sister from the same mother. Because when Avram Avinu wants to explain to Avimelech why he said that Sarah is his sister, and nonetheless she is muteret to him, that's because she is my sister, but she's only bat avi v'lo bat imi, and therefore there was no isser for me to marry her. Fine. Okay. So if that's the case, it means over here, as we'll see in the end, achot imo, but only achot imo from the same mother. Rabbi Akiva, he says no. Aviv actually means eshet aviv. Imo means imo mamash, not to sleep with his mother. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no basis in the pasuk for any fraternal relationships, because he doesn't understand the et aviv and et imo to be a reference to sisters, and that would mean that anything that there is only an iser kores on and not an iser misa, which are all the sisters or brothers, wives, and so on, those things do not apply. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, that would be the basis of Rebbe Meir's other shita, in which, if it's not a chiyav misa, so then there would be no chiyav. So it actually works out very well, according to Rebbe Meir. It all goes back to how we look at that opening pasuk in Gan Eden, which discusses not the sheva mitzvahs b'dei Noach, but which discusses the nature of marriage and incest. So after the whole story of the marriage of Adam v'Chava, it says, and therefore, yazov ish et aviv et imo, v'davak b'ishto v'ayala basar echad, that pasuk is taken to be the definition of appropriate sexual connections, which is given as defined to Adam HaRishon very clearly. And once we started explaining the pasuk, let's understand the rest of the pasuk. So it says, okay, I can't marry the father, mother, instead vidavak. Now, davak, it means davak beishto. The fact that it says davak means that it is prohibited to have sex with zachur, because zachurs don't have any type of provisions for davak. Davak would mean that there's something about that relationship which matches you to the other person. And that would mean that there would have to be nerve endings that were provided for reaching mutual climax, something that makes a person feel attached with a deep mutuality to the other person. Since that does not exist in anuses at all, so therefore it's telling me I'm not able to relate to anuses because they're not davak. And therefore, now this is obviously going to have an impact on what you're allowed to do with your wife, as we'll see in a moment, because it says, v'davak be'ishto. So we'll talk about in a moment, well, what about sleeping anally with your own wife? According to this, it should be prohibited because there's no vidavak. The Torah doesn't make any distinction between one sex or the other sex. It's only talking about differences between organs. And therefore, when it says be'ishto, it means your own wife. That implies his own wife, but not his friend's wife, which means that he's not to, or is not allowed. Adultery is also considered to be usur for ben noach. And then the closing words of the pasuk, for the first time, mentions genetics. The hayu lebasar echad. Only where we have an intercourse that allows genetic mixing, mishin asim basar echad, you would need to be able to become one basar. How do you ever become one basar? Because in mixing your genes and creating offspring, that new offspring is both of you because it includes both of your genetic inheritance. But since with an animal you cannot have offspring, so therefore yatzo behema v'chaya she'ein lasin basar echad. So this would be the basis of the Torah saying you cannot sleep with an animal because we're talking about sex that is meant to be basar echad. Fine. Now, let's go back and understand the implications of Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva. You said, Rebbe Eliezer Omer Aviv means your father's sister. I don't understand why it means your father's sister. It says your father. Why doesn't it mean your father? So, Ema Aviv Mamash, Alkeni Azov Ish Et Aviv means don't sleep with your father. No, it can't mean that, because since we were already told that vidavak means that you need to be able to be mitdabek, then that already excluded relationship with males where there is no physical, biological ability to be mitdabek. And therefore, it would be included in the general iser. So why would I need a special indication not to sleep with the father? Most fathers are males, at least statistically, that's what it seems. And therefore, it must mean something else. Okay, let's say it means something else. Isn't the most reasonable thing for it to mean is that your father's wife is like sleeping with your father? I mean, that's what we said before was Nogea Yisrael, right? In the Pasuk, we said, Ervat Avicha hi. So maybe that's what it means over here. No, if it's your father's wife, so then it already said you're not allowed to sleep with another guy's wife. So what's the difference if it's your father? Hainu bi'ishto velo be'eshet chavero. Yeah, but what if they're currently not married? What if the father died? Now, this is the woman who was his wife. So maybe that's what it means. So ema la achar mita. Why instead would you say it means his sister? That's because when it's said in the same pasuk, the next word, et aviv ve'et imo. Now, was it referring to imo through marriage? Right? It was referring to imo through genetics. So if a mother is not your mother because she gets married, she's your mother because she mothered you. She conceived you. So then that would have to be true by aviv as well. Because we don't see that this pasuk is including relationships through marriage. It's only so, as far as we can see, to remain consistent with the mother, then the father would have to be a genetic relationship, and it can't mean just a homosexual relationship, because it already covers that with Bolo Bezachar, and therefore it must mean some other genetic relationship with your father, which could only mean your father's sister. Okay. Then the next thing that Rebbe Eliezer said was that imo means achot imo. Why does imo mean achot imo? Why does it just mean imo? Well, because it already said you're not allowed to marry someone else's wife, so your mother is someone else's wife. Who says your mother is someone else's wife? I mean, that's all very nice to be pretty about this, but where does that come from? She might be your mother and not be someone else's mother, wife. I mean, let's talk about a case that her husband died. Answers the Gemara, because if Aviv did not mean his real father, because we proved that. It can't mean that, because that would be included under Zachor. So then when it says a mother, it also means something that is consistent with father. And therefore, it must mean not directly the mother, but rather including something beyond the mother. That could only be his mother's sister. So that way we have a consistent approach to the pasuk, in which we're talking about genetics, and we're not involving any other issue. And therefore, father and mother will only share the same meaning in the pasuk if it means a sister. Later, we'll prove that it means only the maternal sister. But right now, the point is a sister. That's Rabbi Eliezer. So that means that according to Rabbi Eliezer, very clearly, we are including those fraternal Isurim, which are not Chiyuve Misa. That's for sure. So that would be the later approach that we had in Rebbe Meir. Now let's try to understand Rebbe Akiva. So Rebbe Akiva has the same discussion. He says, Aviv does not mean your father's sister. Aviv means your father's wife. Wait a minute. According to Rebbe Akiva, couldn't it mean not sleep with your father? No. You already saw that in Rebbe Eliezer. Not to sleep with your father would have already been included in the Isser of a Davak Belo B'Zachar. So you're not able to be Mizdabek with your father because he is the same sex as you are. Okay, so then why not say Eshet Aviv is also can't mean that because she would already be Asura since she's married to somebody else, namely your father. So Haino B'Ishto V'lo B'Eshet Chavero, who says that he's currently married to her. Maybe he died. And now this woman remains Asur to you as a Ben Noach after he died. Okay, so therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, I understand that it's a reference to your father's wife after his death. Imo, well, that, says Rabbi Akiva, means his mother. Actually, not his mother's sister. But wait a minute, isn't his mother married? Wouldn't that be covered under Ishto Velo Eshet Chavero? No. I mean, to put it not as nicely, what if somebody raped a woman and that was your mother? And therefore you are the child of a rape victim. What does that have to do with her being married? She was never married. So it would be referring to Imo Mianusato. Wouldn't that be exactly a perfect explanation? Okay, what's the bottom line of what the machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva is here? The Maika Miflegin. Rebbe Eliezer Sover, look, the most important nakuda that we have over here in order to be Dorish the Pasuk is to look at how the Pasuk is consistently referring to the relationship. So we need father and mother to be the same type of relationship. The Aviv has to be Dumya to Imo. The Imo has to be Dumya to Aviv. And there's only one way that that could be true. And that would have to be where, in order to be consistent, it would only be through sisters, both of them. Because we've already seen that it can't be referring literally to father and mother, because the father part wouldn't make sense, since fathers are usually males. And therefore, it doesn't mean the actual mother and the actual father in order to maintain consistency. It can't be talking about a woman over here that is your father's wife, because we already know that. And therefore, it would be saying the same thing that it said before, if it meant the father's wife and the mother was the same thing. So it must be referring to something that could apply both to father and to mother, and that means sister. That's what I hold. So we don't find anything like that other than sisters. Rabbi Akiva says, you're right. There is a certain logic to what you're saying, Rabbi Eliezer. However, we do find in the Torah that the Torah later describes an Eshet Aviv as Ervat Aviv Gila, right? Eshet Avicha is Ervat Aviv Gila. That was one of the psukim that we had analyzed earlier. So if the Torah itself calls a father's wife the nakedness of the father, isn't it reasonable to say that in Gan Eden, when we spoke about the primal description of what it means to leave father and mother, that leaving father would mean leaving the nakedness of the father. And that would mean the wife of the father, as defined later on. So I think that the very fact that the Torah uses that terminology, as opposed to what's the terminology that the Torah uses about a father's sister. The Torah does discuss your father's sister, but you know what it says over there? She'er avichahi. She'er means related flesh, but not the nakedness. The nakedness is a direct reference to the genital context. Certainly when it comes to erva, nakedness is closer than just saying a relative, right? So which one do you think it's going to mean? It makes much more sense to say that when it says a father and it cannot mean literally a father, that it would have to be saying the one that is closest to the actual genital contact with the father, and that's defined later on in the Torah as a father's wife. Then that's called Ervat Aviv. Masha'im Kain, Achot Aviv is only called She'er Avicha later, and never do we find that a sister would be called Ervat Aviv. So that would mean that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a ben Noach is osur on sisters, father's sisters, mother's sisters, and so on. And according to Rabbi Akiva, he is not osur. Now, we know for a fact that we have a wonderful example in the Torah that we just had very recently in the Kriya on Shabbos. It says that Amram married his auntie, Yocheved. Now, how in the world did he marry Yocheved? I mean, she was his father's sister. So how does that work out? My love, dodato min ha'em. I mean, I'm assuming we know Yocheved was the bat Levi, and we know that, therefore, she must have been the sister of Kehat, who was a ben Levi, and that would mean that Amram was marrying over here his father Kehat's sister. And I'm assuming that she was a complete sister. I mean, we don't have any record of there being another woman involved. So my love, dodato min ha'em. So we see that Amram, who was at the time a ben Noach, was allowed to marry a father's sister, which absolutely proves that Rabbi Eliezer is wrong, and that those Isurim that would later turn out to be only an Isur Karet is not included in a Ben Noach, because otherwise, I mean, we know we're talking about the leading tzaddikim of the door. How in the world would Amram have married Yocheved Dodato? Says the Gemara, who says? You don't know that there was another woman, but it doesn't say who the mother was. It's very possible that she was his aunt, and that's why he's called Yocheved Dodato, but she was only his aunt from a common father. And we said that is not considered to be related in terms of the din of a ben Noach. So that seems to be the issue. How does Rebbe Eliezer get out of this? Okay, so we don't know yet, actually, what the mocker is. But as I told you, the mocker, actually, the difference between the maternal and paternal, we're going to learn out in a moment, as the Gemara asks. And that's from Avram Avinu. Toshma, and the very statement that describes that difference seems to be describing what Avram Avinu was talking about against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says you can marry your sister. But Avram Avinu, when he was justifying himself to Avimelech, says, "V'gam omna achoti bat avihu hi, ach lo bat imi." So he was explaining, listen here, Avimelech, I said she's my sister, and she is, but only through my father, not through my mother, which implies that Michlal, that in explaining this to him, that had she been Bat Ha'em, then she would have been Asura. But according to Rabbi Akiva, she would never be Asura because there never was a Mokar for fraternal relationships, the way he was learning the Pasuk, right? So why is Avram Avinu going into all of this lomdas with Avimelech? It's irrelevant. Excuse me, gentlemen. What are you talking about? She wasn't his sister at all, for God's sake. You know that. She was his brother's daughter. So why are we talking about this whole discussion? She was my sister. She's not your sister. Stop giving us this garbage. So, like, you're ignoring the facts over here, right? She was actually the daughter of his brother, Aaron, the sister of Lot. And what's the difference? If she was the daughter of his brother, who cares whether his brother was related to him in a Av or his brother was related to him in a Aim? There, even a Ben Yisrael is allowed to marry the daughter of his brother. Doesn't matter whether it's a complete brother, paternal brother. So anyway, this whole discussion with Avimelech seems to be a joke of some kind. So how do you justify that whole discussion? Ella, I mean, obviously, Hatamachika Amarle, that all Avram was saying to him was the facts. Kurva da achot itli bahadami abba velomi ima. I do have a type of relationship with her through the same father, but not through the same mother. That's all that he's explaining was the reality. So because of this, he is actually able to say, this is my sister. Because, I mean, people do refer to grandchildren as the equivalent of children. So what I said was not wrong, but she was not related to me. Sarah's father, Haran, was not from the same mother that Avram was. So I'm just telling you what the reality is. Now, obviously, if you consider what was really happening between Avram and Avimelech, the important thing that Avram was saying and why he needed to say it this way, even though you're saying in fact it was irrelevant, was because he needed to make it clear to Avimelech that Avimelech is a slob. That was the point. And what he was trying to say to Avimelech is, you're giving me all of this Baba Maisa. And remember the Medrash, as Rashi brings. I asked everybody. I asked the camel drivers. I asked the janitors. I made absolutely certain that she was really your sister. So what are you giving me? He said, that's really very nice. Did you also make absolutely certain that she wasn't married to me? No, I made absolutely certain she's your sister. Well, yeah, she's my sister. You also made absolutely certain that she wears black dresses and I wear black suits. I mean, is that also part of your research? Your research is irrelevant. That's what he's trying to tell him. You're telling me you were completely a tzaddik in taking her and so on. Really? Your research was irrelevant to our marriage, no matter what you hold. Because even if you believe that my sister means that I'm saying I wouldn't have married my sister, why does it mean that? So you didn't ask the right questions now, did you? Why didn't you ask the right questions? Because you didn't want the right answers. That's why you didn't ask the right questions, you bum. And therefore, don't talk to me about being a tzaddik and benikyon kapai and so on. That's the real meaning of this whole conversation. All right, so we understand. But in terms of our local abaisa, utilizing the conversation, we need to understand it in its real context. Okay. Now, there's another raya against Rabbi Akiva, in which we see that a Ben Noach is not allowed to marry his sister. And according to Rabbi Akiva, a Ben Noach is allowed to marry his sister. The Braisa says like this, Mipnei ma lo nasa Adam et bito. Why didn't Adam HaRishon marry his own daughter? And what would be the plus in marrying his own daughter? Because the only reason that we needed to keep Chava around was because Lo Tova Yot Adam Livado. And therefore, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to get rid of Adam until the day he became mortal, but he could still live for 1,000 years, so because of that, he's going to be kept around. But what do we need to keep around the woman who caused the whole problem? Let her drop dead. But we can't let her drop dead because then poor Adam's not going to have a wife. And we said, Lo Tova Yot Adam Levado. So we have to let Chava stick around, right? But if Adam could marry his own daughter, so then we don't need to let Chava stick around. So why didn't Adam marry his daughter so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could get rid of Chava? That was in order that Cain should be able to marry that daughter. Because otherwise, if the only daughter that was around, the only girl that was around, was married to her father, so then how could she marry her brother, right? So what does that show? And it's a pasuk, Shenemar, ki amarti olam chesed yibane. So that means that I want the world to be based on chesed, and this is why it says, by the iser of isha sheikachet achoto, chesed hu. What's the chesed hu? The Porsche, the meaning of the chesed hu is that this is a cherpa. How could you do such a thing? But it's merames that, and if you say, so how come Cain married his sister? Ah, Cain married his sister because that was a chesed. So it really means chesed hu. Okay. In any event, what do we see from there? That if it wouldn't have been for this very special chesed, Cain would not have been allowed to marry his sister. Oh, wait a minute. Why doesn't Cain just paskin like Rabbi Akiva and say, there's no problem because I'm a ben Nayak and I can marry my sister and I don't need any special heterin from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to marry my sister. That's the din. So obviously the din is not like Rabbi Akiva. No, that's not true, because Rabbi Akiva would simply say, you're right. And this is a primal description. Once it needed to be mutter for Cain, so because of that, it wasn't an exception. It became mutter for any ben Nayach to marry his sister. That's how Rabbi Akiva would understand it. Okay, now, this, of course, raises the issue of why would Adam marry his daughter? Is it mutter? Omer Rav Huna, it is indeed. Kuti mutar bivito. We just learned that the din is that relationships that have to do with this pasuk, al ken yazov ish et aviv ve'et imo, is the mukker of all of the isurim of Arias to a ben Noach. Now, obviously, he's not darshaning the ish, right? He's saying all Arias, according to Rav Huna, all Arias comes only from this pasuk. So since in this pasuk is no iser of a daughter, so because of that, there would be a heter, even though for a Jew to marry a daughter is considered to be a chi of misa. So this is obviously another shita. This is the shita of the ish. So Omer Rav Huna, akuti is mutter bebito. And if you're going to tell me, Bipneima lo nasa adam et bito, kidei sheyisa kain et achoto, mishum olam chesed yibane. Now, others say that Rav Huna said, actually, kuti oser bebito. And I'll prove it to you. How do we know that other arayas are included in terms of ish? I prove it to you. Adam didn't marry his own daughter. Why didn't he marry his daughter? Must be because she was Isura. No, not true. The reason he didn't marry his own daughter could be, as we said before, because we needed to keep that daughter free, kidei sheyisa kain et achoto mishum olam chesed yibane. So since we wouldn't have any other women that he could have married, even though, as the Zohar points out, there were plenty of humanoids around. Obviously, Adam didn't just pop up and not have any humanoids at the same time, but those do not have a din of Adam. You can't marry an ape. I mean, doesn't look like an ape, doesn't talk like an ape, doesn't matter. But this, in conjunction to understanding the difference between the Adam and humanoids, it's an ape, in the same way that it's usher for the Adam Atem to marry an Akum, in exactly the same way. So because of that, there was no choice. In order to allow Cain a mate, he would need to marry his sister. Omer Rav Chisda, an Eved would be different. An Eved, remember, doesn't have Chias at all. So if that Ben Noah now becomes an Eved, so then the din is, he would be allowed to marry his mother, and he would be allowed to marry his daughter, because he doesn't have any of these Isurim. Because, in a sense, he's like a ger, in that he's not anymore related to the place where he came from. And that's because in order to be an Eved Yisrael, he had to go through an Eved Geirus, which means that he's put into the mikveh with an acceptance of the status of being an Eved Yisrael. As the Rambam puts it, we ask him, are you ready to accept the status of Eved Yisrael Haksherim? And he wanted to be a kosher Eved. And he's makabel that on himself at the time of the tefillah. And then we do mila on him, which means that he's no longer a goy. So he was yatsa michlaukuti, and he lost all of those relationships, and he has not yet entered into the full Kedushas Yisrael, which he does only when he's freed by his master. And over here, everybody understands that an Eved is certainly, you're not going to say he's Bami Kedusha Chamura Le Kedusha Kala, because he doesn't represent what it means to be fully a Ben Yisrael. Everybody knows he is just an Eved. So because of that, he would be allowed to marry. Amazing. So he doesn't have any of those connections. Raklal Yisrael Loba. All right, I guess we should. No. I guess we. No, listen, we might as well finish the daf. We're already over time, I think. Is that okay? All right. If Shmoo says, we got to listen, right? All right. Well. Okay, so then we have the Gemara that we had earlier when Reb Dimi came to Bavel. See, he brought along a mimer from Reb Elazar and Omer Reb Chanina, that if a benayach is miyached a shivcha for his eved, so he wants to give his eved a sexual partner, so he takes the shivcha and he gives it as a gift to his eved. And then he himself sleeps with this shifcha. So then he would be ner agaleh. So Rashi said that that's because he is a gazlan, not because there's a din of actual marriage. Okay, that is a big machlokas rishonim, but lemaisa, that's how Rashi explained it, so we'll go along with that pshat. Here he's ner agaleh because it's similar to gizela. Now, at what point is he considered to be actually belong to this Eved? Omer of Nachman, mi de korula revita de palanya. The moment, you'll notice that there's a major problem with this approach. I just want to mention it, and it comes up in the discussion with the other Achronim, and that is, how in the world can you be gozel from your Eved if kol ma shekana Eved kana rabo? So if this is not in terms of the Ishus, how the heck is it in terms of Gezel? So you understand that there's a fundamental problem with that earlier Rashi. I mean, here Rashi doesn't say anything, but that's how I explained the sugya when we brought it up before. And the whole mashma'ut in the sugya, as Rav Nachman just said, from the time that people in town call her, oh, this is so-and-so's sweetie pie. So they call the Eved, they know the Eved, this is Eved sweetie pie. So it's revisa de planya. So at that point, it's considered to be his. And at what point is she no longer considered to be his? Because, I mean, if Lamaisa, the Udain, wanted to take her away from him, he could certainly do that. So, I mean, apparently, if you're holding that this is a gezela, it's because he didn't want to take her away. Because it would be biyodai to take her away, or for that matter, even if she's married, he can unmarry her. The odin can unmarry her by breaking the relationship between them. Because remember, there's no din of divorce when it comes to an akum. There's just, okay, we're no longer married, thank you. All right, so what would be that point that she's now considered to be mutaret? Mishapara rosha bashuk. When she goes around with her hair uncovered, because in those days it was inconceivable that a woman would walk around with uncovered hair if she's married. It doesn't matter if she's Jewish or anything else. When she uncovers her hair in public, so she's obviously not married anymore. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hanina. We also learn from this pasuk, which is the marker of our understanding that the Torah doesn't like anuses, that if a goy would sleep with his own wife anally, so he would be chayav misa, because it says over here, v'davak b'ishto. But you said that there is no way to be davak anally, because there's no nerve presentation that would allow dveikus, and therefore you don't have the correct hachona for dveikus. And that would mean, I mean, it doesn't say anything about male or female. It just says that the thing that's okay is to be davak b'ishto. So that means there's no difference between the male anus or a female anus. It's only normal heterosexual, because males don't have vaginas, and therefore the Torah is only being matir, that type of relationship. V'davak v'lo shelo kedarka. So that follows automatically from the way that you read the pasuk. Amar Rava, yeah, but you run into another problem. Because since we gufa learn out that when it comes to a Yisrael, we dafka learn out from homosexual relationships that it's considered to be a normal relationship from Mishke Ve'isha. In which case, how could you say that for a Yisrael, the Torah has flipped anuses to be okay if they're female and not for a goy? Does that make sense? Mi'ika mide di Yisrael lo mechayev v'kuti mechayev. How would there be such a thing? The truth is, says Rava, what you can learn out of yours is exactly the opposite, which is that if a ben Noach sleeps with another man's wife anally, he's potter. That's the point. Because the davak beishto means velo beishes chavero, means velo davak beishes chavero. But if he sleeps with eishes chavero, which is not derech tveikut, so then it would be mutter, because davak means b'ishto v'lo b'eshet chavero, and davak means v'shalo shalo kedarka. So if anything, you come out, so I agree with you. The isra is only v'davak b'ishto v'lo b'eshet chavero. But it goes in the opposite direction of what you're saying. It actually yields a kula for a goy, because if the Yisrael is chayev, that doesn't mean that the goy is chayev. If the Yisrael is mutter, it means that the guy is mutter. So there you go. So I'll apply your din, and we'll come out with mamish the opposite approach. Brilliant.
Which is what they were doing in the Quran. It's the Rivka that didn't do that, right? It points that out.
Yeah. Yeah, the point being, your point being?
They were lying this kula, that society was rife with this, with you think this said there. But she was free even of that.
Yeah, but she wasn't married. I mean, why is it Noger? She was a Pnuya. Why are you bringing this up? Omar Rabbi Hanina. Oveid kochavim, shehikat Yisrael, chayev misa. If a goy hits a ben Yisrael, he's chayev to be killed. Shenema vayifen ko vacho, vayar ki ein ish, vayaket amitzri. So we see Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri because of the fact that he hit a ben Yisrael. V'omar Rabbi Hanina. Hasoter lo osha Yisrael, somebody who slaps the cheek, literally the jaw, of a ben Yisrael, is kavayochel like slapping a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the face. Ki'ilu soter lo osha shchina. And this is an amazing pasuk that we have in Mishle. Shenemar mokesh adam yola kodesh. Obviously, that's not the simple meaning. I mean, the pshat of the pasuk is that the moment that a person is imprisoned, means he's imprisoned by his own chatoyim and so on. So in that sense, he has actually become buried. His kedusha, his kedusha, becomes swallowed up. But we're understanding it to mean, in this case, that if you hit an Adam, and remember, an Adam has to mean a Yisrael, because Adam atem, so if you hit an Adam, then it's as if you hit the lua, which is the jaw of Kedusha, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we have three beautiful dinim that Rish Lakish teaches, and one of them is Nogea, the dinim of Ben Noyah. So because of that, it brings it here as a direct continuation of hitting someone. So Amar Reish Lakish, first of all, you need to know that just lifting your hand against someone else, even though you didn't actually hit him, at that moment, you're already called Rasha. Shenemar vayomer l'rasha, lomata kereyecha. You see that Moshe Rabbeinu, the other Maisa with Moshe Rabbeinu, was that when they were fighting, Dosan vaviram, he says, lomata ke, he doesn't say loma hikita, why did you hit? He says, why do you intend to hit? How do you know he intends to hit? Because he lifted his hand against the other person. So you see, you have a right to call him a Russia at that point. Alpha Pishaloiko, Nikra Russia. And actually, Ziri Omer Rebbe Chanina, he's called a Chote. Why? Because we see by the Bnei Eli, so it says over there that they would say to the person who is not giving them yet the Zroa L'Chayayim V'Keva, so they said to them, well, if you don't give me it now, I'm going to take it b'chazka. I'm going to grab it from you. And it says, Vatihi chatata ne'arim gdola ma'od. This is a terrible chet. So to threaten someone with force is called chet. Rav Huna Amar, his hand ought to be cut off if he lifted up against another Yisrael. Shenemar uzroa rama tishaver, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will break the arm that is raised up. And Rav Huna actually did that. Kutz yoda. He actually cut off a guy's hand, because remember that a Beis Din has a right, if things are getting out of hand, to do crazy things as a tikkun olam. So he did that. Rabbi Elazar Omer? Nah, cutting off his hand isn't going to help. The only thing you do for him is throw him into the grave. Ein lo takana ela kvura. Those type of people, they should all be dropped dead. Shenemar ish zroa lo haaretz, you have said. A person who lifts up his hand, he belongs in the earth. That's why the earth was made, to give a nice place to throw those kind of people. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar lo nitna, the other meaning of this, ish zroa lo haaretz, beautiful meaning. Lo nitna karka ela labaalei zroot. Shenemar v'ish zroa lo haaretz. Only somebody who is ready to be strong should get involved in real estate. Because if you're not ready to fight off all of those suits, all of those taxes, all of those people are going to make your life miserable by saying, no, you're not allowed to build a swimming pool. No, you're not allowed to build a second story. And you're not going to get your licenses. And we're not. If you want to have a heart attack, you can go and try to do that. Unless you're very strong. Somebody like Alon. I mean, if you've got your whole floor dedicated to your sword play, now you're talking. Another beautiful thing that Reish Lakish said, V'yom Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, oved admato yizba lachem. So Shlomo HaMelech says, somebody who is a servant to his land, that person will have what to eat. Im ose adam atzmo ke'eved l'adamah, you want to be a farmer? Let's get it straight. If you're a farmer, you are committing yourself to being a slave. You understand? If you're ready to be a slave, which means you're working day and night, whether it's milking cows, plowing the land, weeding, whatever it is, shoveling muck, you are a slave. And if you're not willing to be a slave, don't get into farming. Im lav, lo yizbalechem. That's beautiful. I don't know, those of you who are Bikim and Harriet, you remember the beautiful story of that guy who gave his horse a 12-year vacation in his old age instead of sending him to the Nackerman. And he would whisper to the horse, you and I were slaves together for all of those years. How don't I give you time to have a life of your own? Beautiful story. But anyway, so you have to be ready to be a slave in order to be Nisba Lachem. The Amar Reish Lakish, the other thing that Reish Lakish said, is that an Oved Kochovim, who was Shovet, and he didn't work, Chayav Mita, Shnemar V'yom V'layla Lo Yishbotu. So this, in the context of speaking to Noach, even though it was obviously a description of the seasons, but the idea over here is, you, humans, meaning Bnei Noach, shall not cease and desist from your work for an entire day and night. V'yomamar azara shalem zohi mitatan. Remember, saying don't do something is good enough to be mechayev the misa. And Omer Avina, this means even if you don't work on a Monday, it has nothing to do with being dafka on Shabbos. So now here we have a major machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam, as I mentioned earlier. According to the Rambam, the whole point of the Gemara of mentioning Monday is to tell me that never on a Sunday, a Sunday, a Sunday. Why Monday? Because Sunday is a day that goyim practice as a Shabbos. So you would have thought that the issue is only because it's already a religion. Therefore, it's telling me even on a Monday, what would a Monday be? It would be your own religion. So that's the Rambam's beautiful lashon. We don't allow people to make their own religions. That's what this is about. So the way that he puts it, whereas Rashi says, it means literally, you're not supposed to be taking off your job as Adam La'omel Yulad. You're born to work the earth. What are you doing sitting around watching TV for 24 hours? You're crazy? And therefore, he b'chayav misa. But the way that the Rambam puts it is that the akum sheshovas afilu biyom miyumot hachol im asau le'atzmo kumo Shabbos chayav misa. Ve'in tzarech lomar im asa moed la'atzmo. Are we going to make a holiday and call it St. Valentine's Day? Klolo shodovar ein menichinoto lechadesh dat, or lasot mitzvah latzmo, just out of his own gut feelings. That is an iser. And again, the way that the Rambam understands all of these chayev misas is not that he's chayev misa bidei Adam, and that's the o yiye ger tzedek v'kabo kolomitras, O Yamod Betorato, meaning the Sheva Mitzvahs, Velo Yosef, Velo Yigareya. So if he does anything like that, if he's Shavas, or he's Mechadish Dovar, Makinoto, Onshimoto, you beat him up, fine him, and you tell him, Modiinoto Shuchayev Misalze, that really he ought to be killed, but Eval Eino Neherak, because since these are not included in the Sheva Mitzvahs, we don't have an Azara, and therefore, of course, it can't mean, says the Rambam, that we actually kill him. It means Chayev Misa, that this would be appropriate for him. So again, the Azaratan, Zohi Mitatan, is there in order to give us over, as we understood it earlier, not that anything that you're not allowed to do means you're Chayev Misa on doing, but rather, the way Rashi understood it there, that we don't distinguish between saying it's usur, between saying that you're chayav misa literally. We just say it's usur. Sometimes that means that you deserve misa. Sometimes it means you shouldn't have done it. Sometimes it means we actually give you misa. So that's all that it meant there. Okay, this is the way Rashi understood those words, and it's still consistent over here. So why is not including, why not put it into the Sheva Mitzvahs? So if Rish Lakish learns it out from a pasuk that was given to Noah, and that it says, Lo Yishbotu. So then, why is that not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which should now be 8 Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? No. Because Kiko Chashiv Shev V'al Ta'aseh, Kum Aseh Lo Kochashiv. Here, if you're talking about doing something, then that would be a Kum Aseh, and not a shev v'al ta'aseh. So if we're telling him, what are you sitting around watching TV? Get up and work. Okay, but I'm just passively watching TV, right? So therefore, it wouldn't be included in the sheva mitzvahs, which don't include the mitzvahs aseh. But wait a minute, dinim. Dinim is a kum v'aseh. It means get up, make courts, or however we understood the Ramban. And how come it includes dinim? No, because it also, it has lots of inyanim in it that are lotases. It's a kumvase, and it's also a shev vealtase. So there you have all of the isurim that involve that you're not allowed to do anything that is ma'avis the mishpat. That is an isur. So those isurim are therefore included in the sheva mitzvah. No, actually the entire focus on dinim becomes included. Whew, wow. okay, it's an awful lot of amazing sugyas over here. All right, I hope that it was worth the time for you and will be worth the 40 times chazoras, of course, rapid chazoras. And we'll meet again, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow to do more of this marvelous sugya. Kol tov, everybody.